All right, well, good morning. Hope you're all doing well. Had a good week. I started building an ark in the back of my yard around Thursday. I didn't know if it was going to stop, but it finally stopped. Some rain tomorrow again, and then I think we have another reprieve, so we complain when it rains and complain when it doesn't. So, any particular prayers? I want to remember Becky's having surgery tomorrow. I want to remember her and the baby and Si. Yes? Okay. Okay. Do we know how Michelle's feeling? Is she better? Go ahead. The Garner family. Okay. Allie that went. I put it together. I figured she must have been feeling a little better, but okay. All right, well, let's go ahead and have a prayer before we begin. Dear Father, we're thankful for how you bless us each day. We thank you for the health that we have to be here. We'd ask that you would be with all the teachers this hour, that you'd watch over them, be with each of us as we study your word, and we pray that we'd be open-minded to the things that that you have to teach us. We're thankful for the fact that Michelle is feeling better. We'd ask that you continue to be with her and Allie as they travel. Father, we pray that you'd be with the Garner family as they've suffered loss, and that you would watch over them. We also ask, Father, that you would be with Becky tomorrow as she has her surgery, that things would go well, and that you'd be with her and the baby, and that everything would be okay there. Father, we're thankful for how you bless us each day in ways that we take for granted, that we don't even realize, and we'd ask that you would help us to be still and to understand how your hand is in so many things. Help us to have hearts full of gratitude and humility as we walk here with you, and it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Okay, so we've been going, talking about Christian attitudes and Christian attitudes towards different things. We've talked about the attitude towards sin here for the last couple, and of course, sin's one of the biggest nemeses, right, of a Christian. So we've spent a little bit of time here on sin, and I'm just going to probably take another 5-10 minutes on that, and then we'll start the next focus. The next 2 weeks, Steve will be teaching, and we'll be out of town, and then I'll pick this up when we come back. And are you continuing with, like, parables, Steve? Or yeah, so he's going to continue with parables, and he's done a great job with that, and I appreciate him doing that and co-teaching this quarter with me. So thank you. So where we had left off, and I just want to kind of finish this thought, is Luke 15, if you want to turn there, is the prodigal son. And we had talked about how the prodigal was not particularly full of humility, pretty gutsy, right, to go and just ask his dad and say, hey, I don't really want to wait for you to die. I want my stuff now. And, just on so many levels, right, just bold, not full of humility, disrespectful. But the father did, and the father gave him divided his stuff among the two, and So he had two sons, and so he did that. And so the younger one went off, and we talked about how he went out, and he blew through his money. He, you know, had riotous living, as it says, and just went out and, you know, just let it go. And then what happened? What happened in the land? There was a famine, right? And so hard times came. And so not even hard times just from his own circumstances and consequences, but hard times came. And hard times come regardless of who you are on this earth. Just something we'll talk about here in our next topic, which is our attitude towards this present world, right? Towards the world. So hard times came, and how did he find himself? So he's hungry, right? He became in want. And all of these people that he's kind of taken care of and has been at his side and partied along with and had a good time with, they all said, hey, come over to my place, right? Is that what they did? No. Well, it says no one, right? No one helped him. Nobody. Isn't it something how we said that when we looked at the characteristics of sin, one of them is that it separates you, how? It separates you from God. Sin separates you from God. Regardless of what you think of the sin or you're doing in the sin, sin separates you from God. And when you think about being separated from God, I don't know how, as a Christian, you think about being separated from God and think that's a great time. I mean, it's just not, it's not a good time. You know, it doesn't mean that in the scheme of things for a moment, a millisecond, or whatever, in the scheme of things that, you know, you don't satisfy something. But the big picture is it's being pretty miserable. And so not only, though, is he separated from the Father, he's separated from everyone else. Like, sin leaves you bankrupt. It ultimately takes you down, and it will keep taking and keep taking until there's nothing left. It's insatiable. It's never satisfied. Okay, it's never satisfied. And so he goes and joins himself where? It says. He ends up feeding the pigs, but before he feeds the pigs, he joins himself to a citizen of the country, and a country where? Close to home? A faraway country. Right, so instead of going back at that point, he's in need. Think about it. He's in need. He's hungry. He has nowhere to go. He has no friends. And his best solution is to dig deeper, to go further away from God, further away, and join himself to a stranger. He would rather be dependent on a stranger, far away, even further away, than go back. And we talked about, well, why might that be? And what were some of the reasons? Why might pride? Okay, so, you know, it's kind of hard to go back and say, man, now that I think about it, I was pretty rude. And I was pretty, you know, this, and I was pretty selfish, and I didn't really realize maybe I've really hurt my dad and maybe even my brother. And, you know, you sit there and you start thinking about it, and it's like, well, I can't go back. Have we ever think that way whenever we've done something And that's a tool of Satan that's going to keep us out longer. I've done too much.
Fear of rejection.
What's that? And fear of rejection. I'll never be accepted back. And you know what? There's a truth to that.
Sure, there already is. But
you may not be accepted back by everybody.
But you only need to be accepted by the one.
But you only need the relationship with God.
That's it.
Right? And people may or may not do the right thing. Your brother or your sister may or may not do the right thing.
But God did.
And so, you know, we sit there and we think, I can't go back. I can never make this right. And you may have been in those situations before, and it's a hard, hard, hard place to be. I know situations where people get so down and so they can't see a way back, they take some pretty drastic actions. I personally know people who've committed suicide.
Yeah, what makes it worse?
Right? I mean, they've gone and they commit suicide because there's no path back. Do we have any examples of that in the New Testament?
Judas.
I mean, Judas. I mean, you just think of it. I mean, he's thinking, what path back could there be? I betrayed the Son of God. Well, I mean, how are we any different?
We're not. If we betray our Christians, though, our Christian brothers, we're doing the same thing. We're betraying the Son or daughter of God. If you want to make it that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we sin against God now. And it's as I mentioned a few weeks ago, when we go down to Florida, there's the congregation there, the preacher talks about you either crucify self, or you crucify Christ. I mean, even still, today, every decision, you're going to either crucify Christ. You say, well, I never crucified Christ. And we say, well, we put him on the cross. Well, I never crucified Christ. Well, every day, you're either going to do the right thing or you're going to do the wrong thing. And you're either going to crucify Christ, and you're saying, I don't care. Or you'll crucify self and say, I'm not going to put myself ahead of Christ. And it's hard. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard. There's challenges every day. Right? And if there isn't, Satan will find a way to put one in front of you. And so he has that choice, and he digs deeper. And so he joins himself to a foreigner. He doesn't join himself to a citizen of the kingdom. He doesn't join himself to someone. He doesn't look for a brother or a sister who could help him, right? But he goes and he joins himself to the citizen of a faraway country. And, like, you're going to get support there. And what does the citizen do? Does the citizen go, oh, my poor friend, come into my house, right? You can stay here. I've got an extra bedroom, and, you can live here, and I get it. Everyone has a downtime in their life, and you could pay me back eventually, but, you can eat at my table, and is that what happens? Yeah, the world doesn't care about you. The world doesn't care about you. You know, we make friendships in the world, and we think, it gets confusing. You think, this is my friend. The world doesn't care about you. The citizen sends him out into the field to feed his swine and gave him nothing. So he's sitting out there, and he decides, it says he comes to his senses, and then he decides, man, what is one of the things that he thinks about, that he says? As he's thinking about going back to his father, he's like, wow, well, even what?
The hired servants.
Even the hired servants have what? Food, how much?
And more to spare.
And more to spare. The lowest, remember the disciples asked Jesus, who's the what? What was one of the, who's the greatest in the kingdom? Right? Can I sit at your right hand? The prodigal, go ahead.
Least.
Yeah, now here the least. The least in the household is full and has more to spare. They can't even eat it all. They have everything they need. Are they living in a house? Do they have shelter over their head? Do they have to work?
Sure.
Yeah, they have to work. Does the older brother have to work?
Yes.
He's out in the field. Right? This isn't a, you know, this isn't a luxury resort. We have to work. Life's hard. You're going to have to get up. You're going to have some responsibilities. There's some expectations of you. And you're blessed. God blesses you. And he's like, even the lowest, the Father makes sure that everyone is taken care of in his kingdom, in his house. But he knows he's sinned against the Father. And so he thinks, maybe I could just come back, what, as a son? Just as a servant. Being a servant of my Father is better than being a servant of who? Of the world. Is being a servant of the Father better than being a servant of the world? Do we want to be a servant of the world? Is that where the, you know, is that where it's at? Is that the good time? So, of course, we know he goes back. And we know that the Father sees him and the Father runs after him, right? And there's the embrace and the celebration. And so there's the big celebration. And if you look then in verse 25 of Luke 15, now his older son who was in the field, as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. What does received him safe and sound mean? Like even literally in the parable.
Unharmed.
He's on...
He welcomed him back to the fold.
Well, he welcomed him back.
But he's healthy. Not healthy, but...
He's his son again.
He's his son again. So he's received him. But he's redeemable.
He's been reproved.
What's that?
He's been reproved. He's been, you know, he's been brought under his protection.
He's been reproved, he's brought under his protection. You know, he's safe and sound. He's back where he should be. He's come home. And that's where safety is. Now, can you leave home?
Sure.
I mean, he could turn around. He could get a big double helping, a fatted calf. Okay? And he could turn around, he could walk back out the door. And I don't think that father's going to chase him. Now, he might say, really? But we know from New Testament teaching, if he goes out and then he wants to go back on his swine fest for a while, and 6 months later he comes back, the father's going to run after him again. How long has he been out there? This is an extra point question.
Must have been many years because the brother said he served him for many years.
For 3 years, the brother said. So we'll get there in a second. But, you know, he's been out there for a while. So he comes back and he's safe and sound. He's where he should be. He's where he can be healthy. It doesn't mean he's not injured, but he's sound enough. He's redeemable. He's fixable. And he's killed the fatted calf. But in verse 28, he's angry. His brother's angry and would not go in. He wouldn't even go see his brother. Now, his brother's back. Is this really about a calf?
No.
I mean, is this really? Now, he says, you never killed a fatted calf for me. I mean, is this really about a calf?
No. Jealous.
What's he jealous of?
His brother's back where he was before he left, I think. And he kind of thinks, well, if you are coming back, you at least have to work your way up.
Okay, like you should start as a servant.
Yeah, he's right. Upset by how his father treated
He's upset by how the father's treated the brother. You have a comment?
It seems like the older brother, he sees the devotion and work he has put into, you know, his father's household, farm, whatever. And he's missing the unconditional love piece. It almost seems like he feels like he's earning. He should be earning the father's love, and the other brother's done nothing to earn it and everything to lose it. But what the older brother's missing is the unconditional love. You're not earning the father's love. You have it already. You've always had it. And he seems to be upset because he's exerted himself so much. It reminds me of the parable of the people who worked, the ones who agreed to work at 6 o'clock in the morning all day for a dollar, and the ones who came at 5 o'clock in the evening and worked for a dollar. You know, they got the same reward, and the father has unconditional love for both of his sons. And the one feels like he should have something more because he's working harder.
Yeah, I mean, do we not feel that way? I mean, that you're working, you know, I'm putting all this time in. I've been a Christian since I was, you know, 12 years old or 15 years old or whatever it is. And when everyone else is at the lake on Sunday, I'm here. You know?
I used to hate group projects in school because I would put in the work, and there's always that one in that group that kind of, and they get the same grade you do, you know? It's not fair, but it's life.
Okay. Do you have a comment?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. You're just twirling your hair. I forgot what that was like. So, I do think there's something to the devotion piece. I've been working hard, right? There's a bit of the, I didn't get the fatted calf, but there's a we're told that when one comes back, how does heaven react?
Rejoice.
There's all this rejoicing. Right? That the angels rejoice when one comes back, we're told. Well, did any of them rejoice for me today? I mean, are they just... Do they care about me? Or do they only care when somebody comes back?
I feel like that older brother is pretty self-serving.
Sure.
I mean, I've got two siblings, and there's been conflict between me and the middle one, and there was always this show of mom likes you better than she does me kind of thing, you know? But even at our worst, I can't imagine not being happy to see him.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a bit, and I'm kind of sitting on this point, and I said I was going to do this for 10 minutes, and I'm blowing through all this time again, but I think it's really important that we think about this, okay? And that we think about how we feel, how we view the world, how we view sin, how we view when someone comes back from sin. Like, what is it that's triggering us around stuff? Sandy and then Becky.
Well, the older brother, too, why has he been so devoted and working so hard all these years? Was it to earn the father's love, or was it because he loves the father?
Yeah, so there's, that's a question.
I mean, if he's doing it out of his love for the father, it's all good.
Yep. Becky, did you have a...
Yeah, I was going to say, because I mean, it's totally different than what we do and we have to do in the world. You know, you have to go out and earn a living so that you can buy food. You have to go out and be a good friend so that people be a good friend for you. But you don't, when you look at, if you treat, you can't treat God's love like that, because it's the separation. And that's what was so terrible between the father and the prodigal son, was the fact they were separated from each other. And that brother did not care or realize that that was terrible. I guess he thought the brother deserved it. He deserved to be separated from the father. He didn't deserve to be brought back into the fold because of the terrible thing that he had done. And so, I mean, I think that's when we look at other people in the world, and if we ever see ourselves acting like this, you've got to remember, like, that person is completely, like, desolate. All those things we talked about a couple weeks ago about what does it mean to be separated from God. Like, I don't think any of us would truly wish that on anyone, you know, but that's what this brother was wishing on his brother.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, look at verse 29. You know, the father comes, he wouldn't go in. He doesn't even want to go see his brother. Doesn't even want to see him. Father comes out, pleads with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you." Right? So a little bit to Sandy's point around, you know, I'm doing this to try to earn your love, to try to earn your, you know, your approval. And he says what? "I never transgressed your commandment at any time." So, I mean, here's someone who's not at any time. And so we don't, and this is our next topic, we don't want to be in the world in the sense of, I mean, we're in the world. I think there's a part where we forget how bad sin is, like what it does, right? So when he hasn't transgressed and he's been living, even we've talked about this, it rains on the just and the unjust. In this world today, you can't get away from God's goodness. Like, even if you're an atheist, there are things that happen, there are principles and things that are set up in this world and in this country that are based on godly beliefs and principles. I mean, and let me tell you, when a country or a whatever becomes absolutely godless, when they have absolutely none of those principles, I mean, it's hell. Okay, I mean, this is not, it's all out, bad things happen all the time. I mean, bad things are happening, and you can get a sense of that, but there's still, God provides, you know, there's goodness. So here this brother, he's never transgressed, and yet you give him, right, all the good stuff, and you make merry. You never did that with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, verse 30, came and has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And I think, again, this son, it just takes for granted the goodness of living in the house of the Father. Because look at the Father, he says, and he said to him, "Son, you are always with me." You are always with me. That's the Father's response. I mean, and all that I have is yours. What does the Father have? What does our Father have? What does our Father have that's ours? Like, what is it? What inheritance do you have? There's heaven, but what else?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Peace and ordinance.
Peace.
Yeah. Eternal reward.
Eternal reward. Fellowship.
I know that you may have hit this, I missed the first part, but one of the aspects of this, I think, is justice and our sense of justice. I wonder if the older brother is upset about the fact that his younger brother did not get punished. I wonder if things had turned out like the son, the younger son, believed would, when he would go back and ask his servant, I wonder if the older brother would have been like, okay, that's fair, that's fair, that's the way it should be. But since the father came back, welcomed him back, did not punish him, but just essentially brought him back in, that older brother was like, this isn't justice. He deserved to get punished. And maybe sometimes we look at people like that where we think, I know what they've done. They deserve to be punished for that.
So let's talk about that for a minute. Why did the father not punish?
The punishment was a separation, the desolation.
He's been punished. Like, the father understands. Our father has designed us and developed us. He's created us a particular way. He knows what we need. He knows. Because he's already warned us over and over and over and over. He knows that's hell. He knows it isn't good. It's all wrapped in a nice bow, and it will eat you alive. And you're going to feel empty. You're going to feel like you've got a hole in your heart. You're going to be left with no relationships. You're going to be left with broken families. You're going to be left with, you know, you may or may not have money problems. Maybe you'll have all kinds of money. And it's not going to mean anything to you. It can't satisfy you. It's not going to give you what you need. He knows that because he created you. He designed you. He knows what you need. He sees you suffering. When you got Christ up on the cross and he looks out at these people who think they're doing the right thing, and what does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Christ knows these people are miserable. They're lost. Does he need to punish them more? It's like when they come back, it's time to celebrate. It's good. Well, then we'll say, well, then why does God do hell? You know, I mean, at the end of the thing, well, we'll talk about that because it's different. It's actually different. Okay, I think it's different. And we'll get to
the
that.
The key element is repentance.
What's that?
The key element is repentance.
The key element to repentance.
Yeah, between... this younger son repented.
Yeah,
and that's what God wants from us, a change of heart, to come back to him in devotion. That's what God looks for.
Yeah.
We're going to look at things, we're very tempted because we live in a very temporal, materialistic world to look at things like justice and judgment from a temporal world point of view. God doesn't see things that way. As you were just mentioning, the punishment for the young man was being separated from God, from his father. That's where the real danger is. And so, as it's been said, you know, God's not going to put us in hell. It's our sins. We ourselves that will put ourselves. We'll have to go across the dead body of his son in order to get there.
Yep.
And so... it's just a rejection of God's forgiveness because we refuse to repent.
Think about that, mom and dad, the night before the son came back. I'm sure they had heard about the struggle, the famine, you know. They knew what was going on in the area that his son and the trouble they were going through.
Yeah, I mean, God knows the pain and the agony Now, when we see somebody and they've gone off and they've committed some kind of sin, and let's say because of it, they got really sick, or they lost a couple of limbs. I mean, they got in a accident, or they did some kind of, you know, this person went out, and let's say they struggle with alcohol, or they whatever, and they just went and, you know, were partying it up all the time, and nobody would listen, and they got, you know, in an accident, and now they're in a wheelchair, and they're, you know, all kinds of stuff, and do we look at them different? Do we, were we like, well, you know, they've come back. Do we want to punish that person more? And we're like, well, you know, they've learned their lesson. Okay, I mean, they've, you know, they're in the hospital now, and they killed their friend who was in the car with them, and now they can't walk, and, you know, I don't need to pile on. Okay, we look at those kinds of situations, back to the justice comment, right? We're like, okay, justice has been served, more than enough. I don't need to go ahead and do any more justice, because justice has been served. What about when you can't, when there's no physical? What about when you can't see the emotional pain?
It's still there.
Right? The spiritual pain. Like, we're not here to do justice for people. Right? They, when you're separated from God, do we get it? I mean, do we get it about people are empty? They might seem like they're doing okay, and they might for a while, but they don't. It's not how they're designed. You either believe that God created you and you believe that you need to walk with God and be with God, or you just think, you know what? Hey, that's a great life. And boy, you know, now that someone's gone out there for 40 years and they've got to do all this great stuff. Yeah, and look at their life. And how is everything in their life? And even if what you can see in their life doesn't even mean that's what their life's like. If anybody knows that, you should know that, because you know not everybody knows everything about you. Okay. Lisa and then Sandy.
I think that's so right. I think that the reason why sometimes our attitude towards sin isn't where it needs to be is because sometimes we just see that surface. We don't see the depression that comes with it or that separation. We just see, oh, they're living it up. They're missing, you know, Bible class. They're, you know, doing all these things, and oh, it would be nice to have a free moment here and there. But you don't think about, you know, I know those times that, you know, when you miss because of a sickness or whatever, the rest of the day you feel depressed. But sometimes whenever you're looking on the outside, you don't see that separation and that depression, that joy feeling that you feel being in Christ.
Yep, Sandy.
When we desire punitive consequences for somebody, especially somebody we say we care about or love, we need to go read 1 Corinthians 13 and really examine our own hearts and what we're cultivating in our hearts towards these people. Because, yeah.
You're right.
And listen, there's consequences for sin. Right. So somebody goes, and there's things they do, things we do, and there's consequences. There's consequences in this earth. There's consequences in relationships. And you can forgive somebody, and it doesn't mean still that, you know, things have to be the way they were. So, you know, there are consequences. But we certainly need to be thinking about, you know, the point here for this thing, it's less about the forgiveness piece, and it's more about our attitude towards sin. And, you know, our thinking, when we think, you know, you look at the number of people that are here, and we think, wow, you know, well, all of, you don't know how people are sitting there thinking every year that goes by, and every, you know, man, you know, as I'm thinking about it, it's pretty hard to kind of say there really isn't a God. I mean, like, do I really believe in evolution? Do I believe that all of this mass just take the mass, just take the rocks, the amount of rock, like that much mass, like it came from nothing. Like it had to come from somewhere. Right, so you need to start thinking about it. You're like, I mean, it had to come from somewhere. Like, what are the chances that even a fly, as complex as the eyes are on a fly, like a fly could come from nothing, like by accident, by random things that a fly could evolve, much less a human being, much less things that are more complex, that are, you know, and you start thinking about it, and then it's like, whoa. And it's like, okay, I don't want to think about it anymore. But you know what? People do think about it more, and they do, and then people don't sleep, and people have, you know, we wonder why people have all kinds of issues that everybody has, and people are stressed out. There's a lot of reasons why.
The biggest scenario, I think, as a Christian we have in this world is sometimes we get caught up, I'll be first to admit it. I'm not doing as bad as he is. We point out everybody else's problems, and the evolution. If everything came from one little matter, would not everything be exactly the same?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of this is like the book of Romans. This is kind of the point of that book. He's trying to remind the Jews, you're arrogant in thinking you're better than the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And that's why he reminds them in those first three chapters, we're all sinners. And so it's really about God's grace. So thankful we don't get what we deserve.
Amen.
And if we would remember that, we wouldn't have problems, issues with condemning other people or being harsh and justice seeking for others. When we consider ourselves, and I've been forgiven of so much. And so it's an easy thing for me to accept someone else because I know my own failings.
And to remember that they've gone how long without a prayer life?
3 years.
Right. They've gone how long without brothers and sisters? They've gone how long without the Father? They've gone how long without peace? They've had to go how long that they're the most powerful thing in their life, that every problem that they come up against, they have to depend on themselves to solve it because there's nothing else or no God or no Father or no one who's going to help them. Like, we don't need to punish them anymore. And we don't need to envy them. You know, we need to remember every day when you get told that you don't have a job or you get told that you're sick or you get told, I mean, think of having no God. So you're going to go on your own. I mean, how does that feel? It doesn't feel good. Right? But we have that every day. We're walking with God every day. When people have done bad to us and we need to heal, when people have done evil things towards us, the fact that we can overcome those things with God. There's other people who they never overcome. They can never get past it. They can never live a life that's even productive because they're the most powerful thing in their life. It's all about their power, right? So let's not envy the world. Let's recognize sin for what sin is. Let's not look to sin with a longing eye and saying, oh, if only, you know, if I wasn't stuck in this cage, I could be out there too, right? It's not what it's cracked up to be. God's designed us the way that we are, and we're exactly where we need to be when we're with him. All right, Steve will pick up what is our attitude towards the world in 3 weeks.